हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
okay. Text 251, bottom of 36.
Later in the Padma Purana, it is said, the greatly fortunate servants of the Lord who increase their pleasure in exclusively serving the Lord go to this abode of Vishnu which bestows bliss or prema. This abode of the Lord is filled with many inhabitants and has jeweled walls, towers, and palaces. Padma Purana 6, 256, 9 through 11. In that place is a shining city, glorified, because it is not covered by illusion. It is resplendent with walls and festoons, bedecked with gold and gems, and has four gates with jeweled doors. Padma Purana 2, 6, 256, 11, and 12. Ayodhya means not covered by material energy. So Ayodhya means covered by material energy. So what would that mean of Yoda? It's one who is in the city of Yodhya. Okay. Okay. The gates are protected by Chanda, Kumuda, and others. At the eastern gate are Chanda and Prachanda. At the southern gate are Bhadra and Subhadra. At the western gate are Jaya and Vijaya. And at the northern gate are Datta and Vidatta. Padma Puran 6, 256, 12, and 13. O Parvati, in that city, the protectors of the direction starting from the east are Kumuda, Kumudaksha, Pundarika, Vamana, Shankukarna, Sarvanetra, Sumukha, and Supratishtita. Padma Purana 6, 256, 4, 2 through 15. In the eight directions are protectors of the directions. It is filled with rows of houses shining like millions of flames and occupied by divine men and women who are eternally youthful. In the middle of the city is the Lord's attractive palace with jeweled walls and excellent festoons made of leaves. It is filled with many towers, large houses, and mansions, and is decorated everywhere with heavenly women and apsaras. In the center is the celestial festive pavilion for the king to sit. It is splendid with thousands of ruby-studded pillars, eternally devoid of material influence and reverberating with the sounds of the Vedic verses. Padma Puran 2, 56, 16 to 20. So we see is that you have all the houses around. You have the four gates, and then within the four gates you have all the houses. In the center, that would be the Lord's place. And then in the center of the Lord's place, then there is a open area, and in that there's a pavilion. So there's always, in other words, it's laid out like Vastu Shastra recommends. Right? The gates are exactly in the center because they're going to go in, they can go into the Brahmastan directly. Right? Because in the Brahmastan's the deity, so there's no problem. From him everything's coming out, so it's not a problem that they come. If it's a regular residence, then generally it's not recommended like that. The gate is off the center. But if it's the deity can be in the center. Like temples and that, then they use these exactly square elements. And so then in the center, the Brahmastan is the deity, our Lord Vishnu. And then in his palace, in the Brahmastan, then there's an open area where there's a pavilion where he sits. So all these things are done nicely. Yes.
So this is Vaikuntha?
This is Vaikuntha. Yeah. They're describing the glories of
the Lord here. So again, you know, we see is that they'll show how special and great he is. Then they'll go on to show Krishna's position. Right? So you're always going through this process. Yes.
I think the Srirangam temple is built exactly like according to this description.
Yeah. And then in that you have seven levels.
Seven gates. Walls.
Yeah. So Vaikuntha is like that. So this outside one, that's where Chanda Prachanda, Subhadra, Jaya Vijaya, like that they are. Then you have the next one in, the next one, next one. So in the very middle one, that's where the deity lives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's standard. It's standard.
But when they spoke about Ayodhya, it's a relation with Lord Ramachandra?
No, just Ayodhya means not covered by material energy. So Ayodhya means, in other words, if you're talking about a city, it has the quality of Ayodhya, means that.
Yes.
But then there's the place called Ayodhya, yes, where Ramachandra is. But it's also the same, not covered by material energy.
Yes.
Okay. Nitya Muktai means eternally devoid of material influence. In the center of the pavilion is an attractive royal throne personifying all the Vedas, surrounded by the Dharma, Jnana, Aishwarya, and Vairagya, who are situated as eternal presiding deities of the throne, and who are also personifying the Vedas. Padma Puran 2.6.5.6, 20-21. Dharma, etc., are the presiding deities of the throne. There also it is said, in the center of the throne are fire, sun, and moon. Right? So even when we establish the asana for the deity, when we're doing, then if you're being very technical, then where you're putting the conch for everything, then you have fire, sun, and moon. Kurma, Sesha, and Garuda. The Vedas, the Vedic meters, all mantras, which constitute the very form of the throne. This throne is known as the Transcendental Yoga Peak, composed of all letters of the alphabet, Padma Puran 6.25.6, 23.25. So we can see is that the alphabet comes from here. So it's saying the alphabet proceeds from Narayan. That's the opening of Jiva Goswami's Harinamamrita Vyakara. Narayana Udbhuto Yat Varna Krama. All the Krama, all the Varnas, they all come from Narayana. Like that. So it's not that it's just some letters that were there, Indian subcontinent, some savages somehow know they worked out this technical language, more technical than any other language on the planet. this is real. You know, like that. 260. In the center of the yoga peat is an eight-petal lotus whose brilliance is like the rising sun. O Parvati, in its center is the Gayatri Mantra, acting as the pericarp, where the Lord is seated with Lakshmi. Padma Purana 6.256.25-26. He has the complexion of a blue lotus and shines like millions of suns. He is playful with soft, charming limbs. He has lotus hands and lotus ankles, similar to blossoming red lotuses. He has wide lotus-petaled eyes and eyebrows like graceful creepers. His attractive lotus face has a graceful nose and forehead. His smiling lips are like coral and his teeth are like pearls. His smiling lotus face, like the full moon, is shining with earrings the color of the rising sun. His face is ornamented with glossy, black, wavy locks set with mandara and parijata flowers. He wears a kustuba gem bright like the morning sun. His neck, ornamented with three lines, is bedecked with pearl and golden necklaces. His shoulders are like those of a lion. He has four broad arms. He is ornamented with rings, bracelets, armbands, and the kastuba gem brilliant as a million suns, and the garland which spreads over his wide chest. His lotus navel is the birthplace of Brahma, and he wears soft yellow cloth, shining like the morning sun. He has anklets studded with variety of gems, and the rows of his toenails shine like moonlight. The Lord is an ocean of beauty, more attractive than millions of cupids. His limbs are anointed with sandalwood, and he is ornamented with a garland. In his two upper hands, he holds conch and disc, and his two lower hands show the mudra of blessing. O Parvati, attractive Lakshmi, the great goddess of golden complexion, wearing a golden garland,
is situated on his left side. Her form manifests the beginning of youth and is endowed with all auspicious characteristics. So youth means 16 to 30. Right? So the beginning of youth. So it just means just at that point. And is endowed with all auspicious characteristics. Her limbs are anointed with sandalwood, and her locks are decorated with attractive flowers such as mandara, ketaki, and jati. Lakshmi is called Harini, or attractive, because she is similar to a golden figure. Maidini says that Harini means yellow flower, a type of woman, a kind of poetic meter, and a golden figure. She has attractive eyebrows, nose, and hips. Her breasts are full and raised. Her smiling lotus face is like the full moon. Her face is decorated with earrings, tinted like the rising sun. Her complexion is golden, and her ornaments are golden. She has four hands which hold golden lotuses. She is decorated with gold, with lotus garlands of gold embedded with various jewels. So yeah, that's an interesting necklace.
Yeah.
Right? I think I've seen this. It's very old style. It's kind of like they're like lotuses, and each one goes into the next one. But I've only seen really small, quite small. Well, they're not so small, if you're thinking gold. But, you know, but it's one style. And wears rings, bracelet, armlets, and necklaces. Her two upper hands hold lotuses, and her two lower hands hold citrons made of gold. Amar Kosh says, Matulunga is a type of citron or Bijapura fruit. Right. So that definitely answers your question. Right?
Yes. Good thing you just have that.
Yes. The Lord enjoys eternally and constantly in the spiritual sky with this form of Lakshmi, who is eternally endowed with good qualities. O Parvati, at his sides are situated Bhu and Leela, and his energy such as Vimala at the tips of the lotuses in the eight directions. Right? So right immediately with them, with Lakshmi, is Bhu and Nila. Right? So that would be, means when you go back, then that's Lalita and Vishakha. Yes.
Radharani to the queens of Dwarka, from Dwarka to Lakshmi.
Yes.
And then from Lakshmi into Parvati and mature world.
That's not, it's into, then there's transformation.
It's transformation.
No, the other ones are just expansions.
Yeah, expansion.
But with Parvati, it'll be a transformation, just like Vishnu Tattva. And with Shiva, it'll be the transformation.
Yeah, the transformation. That transformation comes.
Yes, it's a, yes, all
so
like
the same thing, Lalita Vishakha into Bhu and Nila?
Yes.
And Lalita Vishakha are also queens in Dwarka?
Yes.
And they are consorts also in Vaikuntas?
Vaikuntha, they're Bhu and Nila.
Oh, in Vaikuntha,
they're Bhu and Nila. Yeah.
And
then Vrindavan are Lalita Vishakha.
But do they transform into the material sphere?
I'm sure they are, but because we don't get much of the Devi, I'm not sure. But so, see, the point is any prominent lady like this, these queens, they always have their immediate assistants who are always there. You know, because there's friends and then there's juniors. So then, so they're right with them. And then at the tips of the lotuses, then you have Vimala and the other energies, those other eight energies. The queens of the Lord are Vimala, Utkarshini, Jnana, Kriya, Yoga, Pravi, Satya, and Ishana. With chamras white like the moon in their hands, endowed with all qualities, they give pleasure to the Lord. Right. So if you're sitting with Lakshmi, then Sri and Bhu, then around, then is these other yes. 500 women, heavenly apsaras, decorated with all ornaments, reside in the palace. The Lord is surrounded by these women who have lotuses in their hands, who have the effulgence of millions of fires, who are endowed with all qualities and whose faces are like moonlight. The Supreme Lord, surrounded by the devotees such as Ananta, Garuda, and Vishvakshena, and other eternally liberated souls, enjoys with Lakshmi with all splendor. Repetition of the same word in okay, so that ends the this from this run from six Padma Purana 2656. Now Rupa Goswami states repetition of the same word.
Yes, Maharaj, you know, here it is mentioned the heavenly apsara, but in Vaikuntha it's only spiritual.
Yes, it'll only be, but it means because the heavenly, the apsara means is that. Heavenly is just is very nice, very beautiful, very, you know, you have those, the very feminine attributes and everything like that. So that's there. The others will be a touch more formal, you know, but the upsaras, then they can be more open.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So both aspects are there. And in the Vedic, both run at once,
yes.
But they basically have a position.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's a misunderstanding that the other is not there, but at the same time then to say that this formal and all that, that's artificial and all that, everybody should be wild. Because the thing is how many girls can really be wild? Right? You know what I'm saying? All the performers, all the ones that are there and that, then who's wild? You know, Gaga's wild.
Madonna
to a bit. Means more in the dress, but not in as much. You know, so the thing is that how many are there? And that's a handful.
Most of them have a nervous breakdown. Yeah.
That's there.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the point is that it's not, that's not the standard. The standard is the formal and everything. And then these other things can add to the environment, because then everybody doesn't mind. But it's a position of assistance. Mm-hmm. Right. Like that. Does that make sense? So everything comes from the spiritual platform. But the point is because it's nature, then no one minds, because that's the nature. The difficulty is the modern situation, nature is not appreciated. So nature is not practiced.
Yes.
Like that. And because of that, then you have this mix where everybody tries to do everything, and then it doesn't work out. So
trying to be the controller and the enjoyer.
Yes, so then that's there. Because then anywhere, in other words, if there's a nature, you stick to that because that's what works. Like that. Because that's what actually matches the mentality. Like you say, you don't have a nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bhumi doesn't have a problem that, you know, when she, you know, she's a cow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not a difficulty, you know.
Practically.
Like that. Yeah, it's not a problem. So when there's that nature's accepted, you function, that's how it works, and it works very nicely. But if one sees, I can get profit here, and I can get profit there, okay, but who can do that? The businessman can see a million places, but if he's constantly changing around, does he make any profit? No, so that's the problem. Therefore, the nervous breakdown. Repetition of the same word and the repetition of ideas are generally considered a fault. Right, because I mean, at least that's means here is mentioning that's the general term. I remember your junior, at least our junior high and high school teach. Oh, we can't repeat and everything like that. So generally, that's why devotees are so used to not repeating something, that something can't be used in two places and all that. Yes. But here he's pointing out it is done here in order to create an impression on the logicians. Right, because the same thing you see sometimes in one verse, the exact thing said in the next verse in a different yes. Perspective
from a different direction.
Yeah, but the same thing is said again.
Prabhupada,
of course, it's just standard. Yeah. You repeat it.
Yeah.
You know.
It was very strange.
Hmm?
It was very strange in the beginning.
Yes, but the point, but because that's we're taught that it's a fault. You know, it's just like it has to do this, it has to do that. But then you take any of the greatest writers, they always break all those rules. You know, so that's the fun. The verses from the Padma Purana are explained by the author in the following verses. The repetition of meanings in words is not a fault because it is done for the understanding of logicians. Right? Because otherwise logicians will use it in one way, but they say it again in a slightly different way, so they start to get a clearer picture. Because logicians have a tendency to work on, you know, this is the way it is, everything. They have also this box problem, you know, this corporate box problem. Right? A topic which is difficult to understand becomes understood when repeatedly taught. Right? That was the thing. Tika means torture. Right?
Yes.
The Vedas, which are a form of the breathing of the Lord, take the form of the perspiration arising from his body. And this perspiration is most purifying. That's different. His perspiration is the Veda. Okay. Vaikuntha is called Tripada Bhuma because it is the abode whose possessions three portions of power. All the powers of the material realm are called only one portion.
One fourth.
Ekapada. We're the Ekapada, and that's the Tripada.
It's figurative.
No, it's that's how it is.
I mean, mathematically.
Yeah, basically.
Three quarter is unlimited.
So is one quarter.
One quarter is limited.
No, one quarter is also unlimited.
You mean the material world is expanding eternally?
Yeah, because there's more and more. It's a sucker barn every minute.
Yes,
of course.
I mean, honestly,
it's always expanding. Everything. It means you have the cosmic creation, which is unlimited and ever expanding. Three quarters as the spiritual world, one quarter that's the material world. But the amount of living entities is 9 to 1 in the spiritual world to the material world, and the amount of energy. Means it says all the powers are only one portion, but the amount of energy it takes to run it is a millionth portion of a millionth runs the whole material world.
Wow.
So Lakshmi mentions that. What she uses to maintain, you know, or create the splendor of the spiritual world, you take a millionth of that, sometimes she even says a billionth, and then take one part and then take that and again divide it into a million or a billion. That's how much energy it says it takes for her to, you know, produce the material world.
That's why Mahavishnu just glances.
Yeah, that's all. It's one glance and it runs the whole thing. So it's that's the whole point, is we're so conditioned that this such small amount of energy is so attractive. So that's why it points out that the spiritual world is, you know, the houses all look like fire, you know, the people in them, the everything like that, it's just... Everything's amazing, you know, and it's not that there's no slums. It's not that this is okay. This is the main streets, and then there's the side gullies that, you know, that are a little medieval or something. No, it's all very, very nice.
How do we get there?
Chanting Hare Krishna. Try it. You'll like it.
You said that there is a proportion of 9 to 1 according to the number of first people.
Yes. It means 9 to 1 of jivas, not of others. That I can't say. One out of 10 then comes here. 9 out of 10 make the right decision. What to do?
You work with what you have.
Yes.
That the Chakra describes you, is it the Gayatri? Which Gayatri is it?
It's probably the... I would think it would be the Vishnu Gayatri. Like that, because I would think it would be up there. I'm not sure if it would be... I don't think it would be Brahma, but it might be, because it's connected with the Veda. Because the Veda then manifests with the Brahma Gayatri. So, because in Vrindavan, it means in Goloka, so the first expansion of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Kama Gayatri. Then you get the other Gayatris, and then from what I understand, the last is the Brahma Gayatri. And then from Brahma, then that expands, the Om from Brahma expands through into the material world. And then the Om then again manifests on the other side as Bhurbhuvaswa, then the Brahma Gayatri, then Purushashukta, then the Veda. From what I understand, so it just kind of reflects through. So it might be because they were talking about the Veda, so it may be the Brahma Gayatri. Okay.
Vishnu Gayatri?
It'll be, it means the Gayatri is a meter. That's three sets of eight syllables. And so then it'll just be one about Vishnu. There's one, Lakshmi, means everybody's guy has a Gayatri. So the Narayan Upanishad, that seems to give, Mahanarayan Upanishad seems to give most, if not all, the Gayatris.
It's the Gayatri that we chant, which is very specific to Guru Vaishnavas, who established those 10 Gayatri lines. Is it through a Parampara?
It means the Kama Gayatri and the Gopal mantra, those are given to Brahma in the beginning. So those are naturally mantras of our mind. Then the how you say, Mahaprabhu Guru, then I'm not sure, but after Mahaprabhu, then that would have been revealed. And so then that would have been given. So those are the... Brahma Gayatri is just standard. That's not part of that set. Those are Pancharatrik. The Brahma Gayatri is Vedic. So that's generally given with Upanayanam. So previously with Vaishnavas, then when they got Diksha, they would get the Pancharatrik mantras, not the Vedic. Vedic would be if you were from families that practiced, you know, Dvija families that practiced Upanayanam, you would have gotten it then. It's just part of that, you know, the Vedic training. And so only those Vaishnavas who had that would be wearing the Brahma thread, and the others wouldn't. So it wasn't, because the thread indicates the Brahma Gayatri. It doesn't, it's not about the others. And so then with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so that the smartest in that would for minimum accept the Vaishnavas as Brahmins, then he introduced that whoever got the Diksha got the Brahma Gayatri. Like that. And therefore wore the thread. So then they would accept. Otherwise then you know, they would always make some comments.
But you said the Guru and Mahaprabhu's Gayatri were introduced?
The Guru, I'm not sure, because that will go back. The Mahaprabhu would most likely be introduced, you know, after Lord Chaitanya. But it would have to come down in the line. So someone up there, you know, Supdamadhar or Rupa or Sanatan would have established it. I'm not sure. Oh, yeah. And the sannyasa one, I think Lord Chaitanya gave it to Kesha Bharati, mm-hmm. and then heard it from Kesha Bharati as his disciple. So that started there.
Bhakrishna
Pandit.
Gopal Guru, then.
Oh, they established.
They had Padatis at that time. They revealed
the
Gayatri at that time, whether it was before.
Okay. Yeah, it's then Gyanachandra and Gopal Guru. Okay. They're the ones that they did major Padatis. They're major Padatis in their line. Gopal Guru and Gyanachandra?
Gyanachandra. And they were contemporaries.
Contemporaries of mine, yeah. So they were the. Yeah. Okay. So. With that, then it's in the line. Because the thing is, when we give the list of the acharyas, we're listing the siksha line.
Yes.
Not the diksha line.
Yes.
The diksha lines are there.
Yeah.
And so everybody in that in there has bona fide diksha connection.
Yeah.
But that's not what's important. It's the siksha line that's important. You know. Hopefully, one day that will be here. More appreciate. Because it's about siksha that's the main thing. Because that's what you're gaining from the Guru that's important. That's why we see is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur connected himself to a bona fide diksha line, but they weren't a bona fide siksha line. So therefore he took siksha somewhere else. Yes. So you see that these things are done. So we're fortunate because it all comes together. We don't have to worry about it going here and there. Okay. When Vaikuntha is described as Tripada Bhutam, it means that the material powers of the material realm consisting of one pod do not exist in Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. Right, so these the material powers are separate. Amritam means sweet, and Shashvata means always useful. Shuddha-sattva means spiritual sattva. By words such as nitya and akshara, the intention is to show that the spiritual world is devoid of the six transformations which take place in the material world. Right? Because you have, you know, birth, growth, birth, growth, sustenance. Then, where you expand?
Reproduction.
Dwindling. That, like this. So here, then, by putting youthful, then you don't have that. You know, it just, it's always youthful. Here are some more verses summarizing sections of the Padma Purana. The first cycle surrounding the main figure of Narayana consists of the Chaturvyuha, starting with Vasudeva, as well as Lakshmi and others, in the eight directions starting with east. The cities of Lakshmi, so then Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajumna, and Aniruddha. So that's, you know, I think we discussed that the other day. The cities of Lakshmi, Saraswati, Rati, and Kanti are situated in the direction starting from southeast in the spiritual sky. These are deities of the first circle around Narayan. Because naturally then you have the Lord, then Lakshmi, then the next, then like that.
So, it's kind of concerts?
You get the idea. Because you have Lakshmi is with Vasudeva, Saraswati, knowledge, you know, because Jnana and Bala are with Sankarshan. Then third is Prajumna, so Rati is his wife, and then Kanti is with Aniruddha. So they're in the corner. So that's why, something like Rupa Goswami, when he gives in his Padati, when you're doing the directions, then he says east, then next to that, south, next to that. Because the next to that goes with the east. Right, because it's southeast, not easterly, nor east, west south. You understand? The second avarana consists of the 24 forms, starting with Keshava. There are three forms each in each of the eight directions, because each of them, the 12, then they have their expansions, so you get 24. The three forms reside in each of the eight directions. One can learn this from the extensive description in the Padma Purana. Fearing the volume of the work, the full description has not been included here. It's just going to get more and more like that. Lord Chaitanya, in his discussion with Sanatana Goswami, then gives the details here. In the third avarana, the 10 avatars, such as Matsya, Kurma, are situated in each of the 10 directions. Though Krishna is considered to be the avarana deity presiding over the upwards direction, his presence there indicates a supreme position. Though the Vishnu Purana is devoted to showing the supremacy of Vishnu's abode, this fact is mentioned because the Padma Purana does not avoid the actual truth. So it's here he's saying Padma Purana. Prabhupada mentions above the Purana is Padma Purana. Ramanuja used Vishnu Purana, that was his main Purana, because that will establish Vishnu as the supreme. So here it's because in 10 directions you have 8 plus up and down. So up is Krishna. Right? So it's just showing his position. 292. In the fourth avarana, Satya, Achyuta, Ananta, spiritual Durga, Vishvakshena, spiritual Ganesh, Shankanidhi and Padmanidhi are situated in the eight directions. The Durga and Ganesh mentioned here do not have material bodies, for it has already been said, Nayatra Maya, there's no material prakriti here. They should be understood to be associates of the Lord with spiritual bodies. That they have that kind of move, right? They have that personality. So then, from here, this expansion will become the Durga. There, this Ganesh will go there.
Yeah.
Avarna that I know of is associates. But this is associates in a group. They're in the circle.
Associates.
Group. Like Hare Krishnas, we're a group. Yes, it's a group. So here's the first group, then the Chaturvyuha, right? Then the next group then is going into the 24 forms, right? Then after that, then you have the 10 avatars. Then after that, then you have this Satya Ananta, everyone like this. Shankaniti Padmaniti, there who's on the inside of the doors. Like that. Generally, mostly, we'll talk about them, but you mostly see them more. I've only seen them, their forms put in like Shiva temples and that. Like that. But otherwise, when you go to the main door, on the outside is Jai Vijay. Yes. Then on the inside, it means on the threshold itself, on the two sides, is Ganga and Jamuna. And then on the inside is Shankaniti Padmaniti. That's how they stand. Because you know, you have guards on the outside, you have guards on the inside also. Yes.
They have so many guards in Vaikuntha.
Yes. Very secure place.
No anxiety.
No anxiety.
Because of the guards?
No, they just go together. If you had these guards at every door and all that, and they would, you know, you knew they would always be there and always do a good job and never go away, and nobody ever gets past them, you'd be quite secure. You know, so it's not because of that; it's because of their association with the Lord. But the Lord, to make sure, then, you know, has this arrangement. So it's because the mood is that of Kshatriya. You have to use something as a mood. Otherwise, if we drop all these things, what's going to be left? Right? There's nothing to work with. So that's why we say pastimes. Pastimes means you're doing something you don't have to do. You're doing it for fun.
It's only in Vaikuntha. In
Braj,
they don't
have... Dorky? Yeah, they have doorkeepers.
They have Shiva. Shiva.
You have Shiva guarding the dump. Means like in Dwarka. Dwarka, they have guards, of course. But in Vrindavan, you have Shivas there. But at the Rasa dance, you have like Lalitas there. You don't get past Lalitas. Like
in the Brahma Samhita, you say you get the deep palace and the tridents.
Yes.
The
sides. Yeah, that's on Goloka.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if anybody tries to, if any yogis or that get there, they go and poke them. So it's well guarded. You know, in other words, anybody with raw, bad consciousness does not get in there. That's the point.
It's a serious screening. It's a serious screening there.
Yes, yes. Yes, you have to, you know, here you just have to take off your shoes or open your bag. There you have to remove your material body. You can only go in with spiritual body. In the fifth Varna, the four Vedas personified, Gayatri, Garuda, Dharma, and sacrifice personified are situated in the eight directions. Because all of these are starting from the east, so this is how they go around. In the sixth Varna are situated conch, disc, club, lotus, the sword, bow, plow, and pestle. And in the seventh Varna are situated the deity starting with Indra. The eight devatas starting with Indra compose the seventh Varna. These are Indra, Agni, Yama, Niriti, Varuna, Vayu, Kuvera, and Ishan, Shiva. From this point is where Vastu deals. But we see is that the same position goes all the way back. So there was the energies that are starting there from the Lord and his consorts. Right, then you're going out and getting all these other elements like that. And there's Sankarshan, Pajumnadi, Vasudeva, it just keeps expanding out. Yeah. So as those go out, so all these levels means this one's expanding into that. And so there's a connection here. Indra's in the front, and so that will have a connection with, you know, the Rig Veda, then back, you know, because then when you establish Rig Veda, it calls, he's the main deity that's always called. Then you come back in Satya, then you come back in here, then Matsya, then you come back into the Keshava. So it just keeps going back like that, the same principle. So that's the point, is when someone knows a little of the Vastu Shastra and think that they, you know, the cat's meow, but there's a lot more that is going on there. That's why it doesn't always make sense to them. Because you're dealing with all these energies and the Lord's associates. That's what's going on, because the deity is Krishna. If Krishna is the deity, then this is what's around. Right? It's not just about where your bedroom is and your bathroom. Right? Does that make sense? There's a lot more happening. It's there because that's how the Lord, you know, his abode is. Yes.
And Maharaj, all this personality like Indra Agni, so in the material world is always expansion.
Yes, they're always expansion.
The
because the Lord is always has these associates. But when he comes in the material world, then these are the main ones that you see. The other ones are all there, but we don't necessarily hear this full yogi. Yes. By Kunta, that's just how it runs. That's how it's situated. But in the here also, it runs in the same way. So if you, so when the Lord is having, in the Garbhodakshay Vishnu, there's the primary creation, and there's the sages, and there's that original sacrifice as described in the Purusha Shukta. Then that being, is there's sages and other great personalities. So these are these original personalities.
Yes.
Right? And then from them come the expansions of Indra and this and that. So, the heavenly beings such as the Sadyas, Maruts, and Vishwadevas, and their abodes are all eternal in the spiritual world. In the material world, these same Devatas are not eternal. Then I say the comment, quote, but the deities like Indra arise from the material world. How can they said to be present in the spiritual world? End quote. Answer this. Three lines from the Padma Purana, 257, 64 to 65 are quoted. The 74 forms, starting with Vasudev in the Avaranas, have 74 planets in the spiritual sky. Among the three avatars coming from Garbhodaksha in the material world, Vishnu is greater than Shiva and Brahma. This is shown through the test of Bhrigu. How much greater then are the Purushas, Garbhodaksha and Karanadaksha? Right, because Vishnu came from them. Right? How much greater than them is Vasudeva, and how much greater is the Lord of Vaikuntha? But, further comments. Quote, but only a person devoid of proper faith proclaims the Lord of Mahavaikuntha to be supreme. For in the Smritis, Brahma and Shiva are declared to be the same. Quoting, there is one deity composed of Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. End quote. The present verse counters this. Okay, end quote. The present verse counters this argument. Among the avatars arising from Garbhodaksha, so he's pointing out why he's mentioned this, because people may make this comment. Among the avatars arising from Garbhodaksha, Vishnu is supreme compared to Shiva and Brahma. Shiva and Brahma are not equal or the same entity. Why? The story from a Bhagavatam is cited. One should consult the 10th canto concerning the test for the three devised by Bhrigu. Then how much greater are the source of these avatars, Garbhodakshayi and Karanodakshayi? Vasudeva is greater than Karanodakshayi. The Lord of Mahavaikuntha, the source of the Chaturvyuha, is so much greater. The meaning here is that this form of Narayana is the Amshi, or Swayam Rupa, of all forms. So that's the whole, this whole line is showing that he is the top of all these other forms, right? Yeah. And so once you've established that very nicely, then you can go on to show how he comes from Krishna. And then you don't have to show that everybody else came from Krishna, right? Yeah. Just like you've established that authority means Veda, right? And you know, like that. And then that Veda essence is in the Upanishads, is in the Vedanta Sutra, and then is established in the Shruti. So that all that is there, that if you want to know the Veda, you have to know the Puranas. Then of that, you know the Bhagavatam. And once you've done that, you don't have to then take the Bhagavatam and go back to each one. Right? That's the whole process I use. Establish what is directly and easily establishable, that everybody accepts. Once you've established all that, then you put it into that. Then when you bring out the quote showing how Krishna is the supreme above that, there's nothing to say. Yes. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in that in the discussion Brahman and Vaishnava. So who is the superior? The first thing he did is came in and established how the Brahmins are superior over everybody else. And why, and how they're this and that. And by he used all the quotes, so all the quotes are used. Right? In other words, if I've used all the quotes, it's hard for you to use the quote. I've used all the quotes, established how they are the supreme and everything. And then the smartest, they are so happy. They're in ecstasy. They're just thinking, you know, this guy's done our work for us. And then once he's finished that, everyone's pleased. Then he brings out the shlokas that show the Vaishnava is there is the highest of the Brahmins. And then they have nothing to say. So we can see that this system is very standard. Is that make sense? Yeah. So it's not that way. You don't have to deal with each one. Otherwise, everybody's got an opinion. You go through the whole thing, show the whole hierarchy, everything like that, which is within the context that people will accept. Then show how what's beyond. That works very well. Yes.
What is the difference between Vaikuntha and Mahavaikuntha?
Because they're showing they have planets all around. So you have the seating in this yogpeet, but at the same time as them, they all have their planets. So that central planet, that's Mahavaikuntha. Then Keshava will have his planet, Narayana, all these others will have their planets.
Okay.
You understand? Because it said, all the Avaranas, then they have their own planets all around that. So they're there in the yogpeet, and at the same time, they have all their planets. You know, so you have that close personal element of the yogpeet, but you have this bigger kind of cosmic element of it. So we see in the material world, the setup is basically the same. You have these same kind of personal elements. At the same time, you have these impersonal kind of aspects of this planisphere. That's why Yamas, you know, down in Patala, at the same time as he's, you know, in the Loka mountains. You know, he's on one side, Kuvera on the other, Indra and Varuna. At the same time as then, you know, they have all these different places. So it depends on how it's situated. But the main thing is showing their position in respect to the Lord.
Yes.
Like that. So then you know what is the closest. So the closest is Narayan, which Bhuvu and Nila. Then you have the Chaturvyuha. Then you have the 12 Keshavadis.
Yes,
right? Then you have the 10 avatars. Then you have, you know, you go out and all these others. And then the last circle is these devatas in that.
Can we say it's the same with Ma, Narayan, and Narayan?
Narayana would be one of the Keshavadis. You have Keshava and Narayana, like that. So Narayana would be in the fire corner.
Okay.
Right, like that.
And Manarayana is the center.
He's the center, yes. So yes. So we see is how far out he gets to the devatas, but the material world people deal with the devatas as they're the primary. But there's another six layers inside of that. So these are, you know, they're big, they're powerful, and they're part of the Lord's associates. But at the same time, is the amount of power in that is being manifest in opulence is very less. Right? Because each time you go out, then the power gets less and less.
Good.
You know, yeah. 298. Shambhu, who is also called Sadashiva, is one of the devatas in the seventh avarna. But Sadashiva is described as the source of everything in the Shaiva scriptures, and this is shown by his devotees as proof. Linga Purana says, Sadashiva is the supreme cause of all causes, and therefore all the devatas arise from him, end quote. Thus, how can Narayana be considered the Swayam Rupa? The present verse answers this objection. Because this Shiva, Ishan, is the deity in charge of the northeastern direction. In the seventh Avarna, there can be no doubt that Narayan is supreme, because he's in the seventh Avarna. He's not in the first. He's not the one sitting in the center.
Yes.
The following should be understood. The Sadashiva mentioned in the Brahma Samhita is a vilas expansion of Krishna, a form of Narayana. The form mentioned in Linga Purana is one of the Avarna deities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it means from his place, then so much will expand.
Yes.
And so he will be the center
yes.
of what's starting from there. So he'll have a yogpi there.
Yes.
But it's
yeah.
not that supreme yogpi of Mahanarayana.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because each one will have, because when you have Indra, he'll have all his associates surrounding him in the eight directions mm-hmm. and all that.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of apsaras. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so it's all going to... It's all going to work. So they're taking their scriptures only quoting that aspect.
Yes. Yes.
But here, what Brahma Samhita is talking about, the lost form of Krishna. Yeah. The lost form of Narayan, that's why he's not different from the Lord. So Advaitacharya, he is that Sadashiva. So he's also Mahavishnu. It's just Mahavishnu in the mood of I am the destroyer, that's Sadashiva. But it's still Mahavishnu. And I am the creator, that's Hiranyagarbha. So that's where the element of Brahma comes from.
Mm-hmm. It's that Sadashiva that transformed into Shambhu?
Yes, Shambhu will be an expansion
yeah,
there. But at that, I would expect, yes, it would be a transformation. So we'd be then working on this Avarana. Then what that transformation will be from that Avarana.
Because that transformation cannot return to
no.
being Sadashiva. Once it's Shambhu, it's Shambhu.
Yes.
Like it says, when you milk from yogurt, yogurt doesn't go back to milk.
No. So that's it. Because these things is that we're given a localized element for understanding, and you have that element, but at the same time as these other aspects are there. Because otherwise, where does that line come from? So that comes from that aspect of Sadashiv. The same time as that aspect of Sadashiv comes from Sankarshan. You know, and so we see is that Sankarshan, he's the one that establishes these aspects. Because you see Balaram has that Abhidhut side to him. So from that comes that's where the Shiva aspect comes. So it's just a portion of his personality. You know, it's then you see his manifest is here. So they all go back. So that's the thing is that Avarna Shiva, that would be who would be expanded in the material world. But at the same time, there's a connection between that Avarna and Sada Shiva. Does that make sense? But they're different. That's the advantage of a Chitta Beda Beda Tattva, is one can deal with all these things happening simultaneously and differently. And that's it. It works. Otherwise, hard to make work. If you need a corporate box, you're in trouble.
Yes.
You're really in trouble with these things.
Again, people like I mentioned yesterday asked you about why the Hindus, you know, stop at Vishnu. It's the same thing. You see Mahesh. I mean, huge population in India see Mahesh as God,
yeah.
the supreme God, Bhagavan.
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't say that he's Bhagavan. See, it's just like Narad Muni is also called Bhagavan.
Yes.
Because it means he has opulence. But of those who have opulence, then there's who has more. Because we see is that Krishna always bewilders him. But it's just a matter of how they tell the story. You know, Linga, Bhagavatam mentions that when Shiva and Krishna fight, Krishna sends a yawning weapon. And Shiva is so affected, he has to leave the battlefield.
To yawn.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Like that. And can you imagine that? All these guys are lined up like this and that, and someone ready? Okay. You know, then everybody over there. Okay. The Prime Minister, we surrender enough already. Take the yawn back. Yeah. So then, but in the link, I think it's Linga or Purana, one of them, it'll describe that in this fight, Krishna shot his weapon, and Shiva just yawned and left the battlefield. So it doesn't
yes.
not tell the facts,
yes.
but it puts it in such a way that those who want to make Shiva supreme
yes.
could interpret it that way. But it doesn't say that. You know, because they will just conjecture it like that. Ah, see, it's so small time. Is that as think Krishna is so small time that he shot a weapon and Shiva just yawned. It was so, it's like we're not even bothering with this. You know, it's just so small time. That's what you conjecture, but that's not what the Shastra says. That's the point. The Shastras don't ever say anything wrong. It's just you have to know the context from which they speak from. Like that. And so that's the difficulty. They don't know. Because all these things, you can take it and take it up to that point. You do the same thing with them. Show the things, how Shiva is the supreme. And yes, take it up to that and then show how he's just in that avarna.
Yes.
You know, so yes, he's superior to everybody else, but then he's only part of this.
That's right. It's always.
Yeah.
It stops there.
Yeah. So they stop it there, but then the other Shastras show the other aspects. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So when they, for example, those who follow Linga Purana, they hear those arguments, they don't accept it?
It depends. If they're actually interested in finding the Supreme, they'll accept. But if they're not, they have ulterior motive, then they won't. You know, it's just like anybody. Like Prakashananda Saraswati. Now, he's the biggest Mayavadi there in Varanasi. 10,000 sannyas disciples. And it's not that he doesn't have a standard. You know, it's that so these are all very nice, they're all real serious Vedantas. So 10,000 of them, who's got 10,000 disciples? Right? It means Vishwamitra has
Durvasa
and Vashishta. But you know, these are big personalities, big scholars, and big managers. Each one of them is, either can manage a kingdom. Like that. But he's got 10,000 sannyas disciples. But because they're looking for the Supreme, they've up to now, this is all the information they've had, they've come to that, and so they've taken that as Supreme. But as soon as they hear Lord Chaitanya's explanation, immediately they surrender. Like that. You know, same with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. If they actually want to know the Supreme, they'll take it. If they don't, they won't. Like that. Of course, you have to present it in such a way that they do. You know, there's the best chance, but at the same time, it's still individual. Everybody's an individual. They have their free will. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, you know, you go up here, eat this, you know. It's not going to work. Oh, nice, ooh, yeah. Like this, and then there's a better chance. You know.
So the association is important.
Associations. The whole thing is only about association. There isn't anything else. In association, then the chanting and hearing becomes real. That's why this idea of Nirjan Bhajan is just not happening. Because when the acharya is going to Nirjan Bhajan, which generally you don't hear him of doing that much, but when they go into it, there's no question of Nirjan. It means without us. we're the Janas that are near. Right? So they're hanging out in the spiritual world. Yeah, you know, they're hanging out in spirit. So there's plenty of people. So there's no such thing as being alone. So that's the thing is that you know. In experience, they go out on their own, and then they try to do this Nirjan Bhajan. It doesn't work because they are on their own. You know, so it's not going to like that. So there's no such thing as being alone. It's just not. It's not something that's used. Like that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where are we? Okay, down here. Okay. 299? It's 298? Okay. Oh, yeah. 299. I say... Okay, so now again, the worshiper of Vishnu. I say that there... Quote. I say there is no real difference between Krishna and Vishnu. Krishna is the vilas, expansion of Vishnu, just as a lamp lights up another lamp of similar intensity of light. Because right? We say these aspects, so these are all. But they're just trying to say who's the first lamp, that's all.
Yes.
End quote. Having described the Lord of Mahavaikuntha, the worshipper of Vishnu now explains his intention. From the evidence showing Krishna supreme and from the mass of evidence showing the form of Narayan has eternally great powers, it should be concluded that there is no difference between Krishna and Narayan. Just as there is no difference between Matsya and Narayana. However, the two are like two lamps. Narayan is the first lamp, and Krishna is the lamp arising from the first lamp. Krishna is the lost form of Narayana. Right, so this is their argument. Yeah. Text 300. O speaker of meaningless words, do not say this. Now Rupa Goswami steps in. You have incomplete knowledge of Krishna's powers and an incomplete taste of Krishna's sweetness. This verse rejects the previous argument. O speaker of many unclear statements, Mahavadin, do not say this. You do not have full knowledge of Krishna's extensive powers, and you have not fully tasted the sweetness arising from Krishna. So in there, the Swayam will be Narayan because they're taking everything back to there. But what's not understood is that Krishna, who's in Nirvana, is not the Krishna we're talking about.
Yes.
We're talking about a Krishna before Mahanarayan. Right? Even before Mahanarayan comes from Balaram. So we're talking about before Balaram. Right? So it's not even just before. Yes.
I think there's a saying, on the same topic about the lamps, there's a verse in Departure of Ahidashantam, you know, from Brahma Samhita.
Yes.
And Brahma, he clearly says that Krishna is that original candle and all the other candles coming from him.
Yes. So we'll see. Now Rupa Goswami will start to... Because now the other side is fully given all the quotes. And the quotes that are given aren't a problem for us. We'll accept all those quotes. It's just the conclusion that Krishna in the Avarana circle, right, means in the... What would it be? You have the Chaturvyuha, then the Keshavadi. So he would be in that Keshavadi circle. Like that. And not even the main, right? He's because the first 12, Krishna's not mentioned. He's in the second 12. Mm-hmm. But they're in groups of three, so they're all right there. So they're saying that's Krishna. So therefore, that's his position. Because we're saying, no, he's before, you know, Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Because otherwise, the previous argument was he is a avatar of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Right? That was the first one we dealt with. Mm-hmm. That was given by Vishwakshena.
Yes.
Like that. So now that was cleared, that he's not that, he's beyond that, he's before Mahavishnu. So then now Ramanuja brings in, okay, no problem. But after Mahavishnu, you know, I mean before Mahavishnu, but he's after Mahanarayan.
Yes.
You know, so now that he's putting him there, so then Ramanuja is given a more, you know, very strong argument there. So, because otherwise from both these elements, because mostly what you're dealing when you deal with Hindus, you'll get the first one. Mm-hmm. Like that. Very few will know the technicality for the second one. They would have to know Pancharatra. So they have to, in other words, they'd have to be other Vaishnavas to come up with that. And yes. Vishvakshena is Vaishnava, but that's generally the line that most of the Vedic will hold. Right? Because they don't know about Pancharatra. So if they know about... So he was just dealing on that level. So then you get to this next level, and then from there, now Rupa Goswami steps in. Okay. You do not have full knowledge of Krishna's extensive powers, and you have not fully tasted the sweetness arising from Krishna. Right? Because we see when Lord Chaitanya's associates, they know Swayam Krishna is original, but they have that taste for dealing with the Lord in Vaikuntha. Does that make sense? There's not very many of them, but a few of them. But it's they understand his position like that. Like we were, was it in here? We were discussing that, or in the Tattvasandarbha? Where it was talking about a devotee who understood Krishna's position as Swayam, you know, Swayam Rupa, but he liked to worship him in this particular form because he sees the non-difference. You know, so those particular pastimes is where he appreciates that Krishna's done. So he's taking it that Krishna is performing these pastimes rather than it's just Vishnu or Vishnu the other way back into Krishna. So it's on a higher platform. So Narad Muni is like this because he can move in all the planetary systems. right? Because he not understands Swayam Krishna, but he is a worshipper of Vishnu.
So that Bhishma is similar?
Bhishma? Yeah, see, maybe it was that. Maybe it was Bhishma.
That was Bhishma.
It was Bhishma Dev was saying. That's right. Because Bhishma, because he's quoting about the gopis and this and that. Right. But he's just seeing rasa and how the Lord does these great things, but he likes to, you know, deal in this chivalrous kind of environment, the kshatriya environment. So he's unique to other devotees. So you have, just as you have the ones that see that way, you have these that see the other way, but still have their position in Vaikuntha, while we'll see just in the one. Right? There's Vaikuntha worshippers who aren't really that interested in Krishna. Then there's Vaikuntha worshippers who accept Krishna as one of the vilasas of Mahanarayana, and then like those past, you know, appreciate those pastimes. Then there's ones who understand it's the other way. Krishna's a Sarup, and Narayan's a Vilas, but prefer to worship Krishna in the form of Narayan. Yes. Then you have those that understand this and are only interested in Krishna as a Sarup.
Yes.
Yes.
Krishna then also gets another form to taste Krishna's sweetness. He never, he gets one form for where
he
departs
Rakhi Loka
or somewhere with Krishna.
Oh, okay.
And then another form he is. So he's in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Was he? Yeah. Bhishma Tala?
Oh, okay.
Wow.
He
was his grandfather. Oh. He's born from Gangadevi. So Janu Muni followed the Gangadevi.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So Janu is his grandfather.
So he came to visit him.
Okay.
And when he was in the Kurukshetra on the bed of arrows, that time Krishna told him, because you haven't visited Namadvi, which is a very dear abode of mine, when you leave your body, you get a body to go there also. So yes, but not that close as in the Namadvi Pavatanga. He has a blackish body like Krishna, Tilaks, Kintimala, Chandan, Dapamala.
Okay.
So in that form, he tastes the sweetness. Krishna's pastime.
Wow.
So he gets twofold.
He gets twofold. I'm not even sure. I kind of heard that Narad Muni even has a form as in Vrindavan. In his pastime.
Yes, it's Kusum Sarava.
He's
a gopi, not Kusum Sarava.
The Kusum Sarava.
I don't remember, but I remember that, you know, Vrindavan, it's he's got the gopi form.
Okay. So then you have these forms. So then we'll see here, but it could be it's the other way. But from there, that
yes.
personality expands as this one is that one.
Yes.
But because as we said, we have these the directions, so then you have all, it goes all the way
yes.
down. You know.
All right.
Yes.
You know, Srila Prabhupada once said, even though the deities are Radha Krishna, you should always see them as Lakshmi Narayan. How did Prabhupada want it?
Means it's that they're Radha Krishna, but they're going to interact with us as Lakshmi Narayan because we're dealing with them because of the rules.
Yes.
If you deal with them because of affection, then they'll deal with you as Radha Krishna.
Then we do offenses. If we go directly into the mood of Radha Krishna, we come in.
Because the point is we can't go into that mood. Because it's just like this. Let us say, let's take our very, typical, walla into rasa. Okay? Now, what are they going to do? Why are they going to be worshipping in that mood? Where'd they get it from?
From the spiritual master.
But where are they referring back to? Hmm?
49.
Okay. Then we need a little more help here. Means he'll be referring back to these Leela Rasa Shastras.
Yes,
okay? So in Rasa Shastra it's has all these things, so therefore you should meditate on the Astakali Leela, you should do this and that. But you should do all these things, right? That's what they'll be saying, right?
Yes.
The words should and Vaidhi Bhakti are synonymous.
Right.
You understand? The Raganuga, and it's just naturally what you're attracted to, those are synonymous.
Right.
So this thing is, no, you have to read about this, you have to do this, you can't do that. That's Vaidhi. All it is they've created this so-called Raganuga Vaidhi Sadhana. That's the thing. They misunderstand what, you know, personalities may be functioning on those levels, but those who hear from them don't necessarily. Because the point is it's just you like doing it. But it has to be predominant, just like, you know, how you say, you know, the brahmachari and his bucket of halva, right? You have spontaneous devotional service here. Right? But the thing is, it's only towards this bucket of halva, and it's only during that time. The rest of the day, there's no spontaneity. But it is spontaneous devotional service, because he likes eating his halva. Does that make sense? It's not that he has to eat his bucket of halva. No one told him, you have to eat one bucket of halva. You're a brahmachari. No, he does it naturally.
But that's the tongue dictated.
The point is it's directed at Krishna. It doesn't matter. The gopis just saw Krishna as a beautiful young boy, and girls, young girls like young boys. But because it was fully on Krishna, it works. So, but the point is it needs to be 75% to be called by that name. So when that element of spontaneity is 75% of your life, then you're called, then it's called Raganuga Sadhana. Does that make sense? So this thing is because you like doing it. So there's only, you know, but the form you'll be using is always Vaidhi. There's no question that a Raganuga Sadhana wouldn't use Vaidhi. They would never stray from that, because the point is if they did, people might understand. Right? Just the example given of the wife who's having has the paramour. She follows the Vaidhi even better. So that means the Raganuga Sadhakas actually follow Vaidhi better than the Vaidhi Sadhakas. Right? Unless they're Vaikuntha Sadhakas, then they do a good job. They're pretty regular.
So in Vaidhi Sadhana and the Pancharatra system of deity worship, there's still room for, you know, for example, Vasant Panchami is coming up.
But it's not about what you're doing. That would be the flavor because of the Vrindavan mood. It's your spontaneity in doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? But it's about worshiping Krishna out of affection, not because of greatness. Because actually, if you get right down to it, it means Ramanujan, that there is an element within their line of spontaneous devotional service. But it's spontaneity within majesty. Yeah. They really like doing this in majesty. So everybody, you could say, is on the spontaneous platform in Vaidhi. But they spontaneously like to follow Vaidhi and express through Vaidhi. And the rules are the means of expression. So this spontaneous devotional service, we could explain that how that's higher than just Vaidhi and just following the rules, even to a Sri Vaishnava, and they would agree. Right? Just they'll tell you don't talk about it publicly so much. They're careful about it. Because Sarva Dharma Parityaja, to them that's their secret mantra. They don't say it in a public program. If you're talking, you can use it, but in a public program they won't say it. That's why they can't understand how we get the people in the door, off this, out of the gutter, into the temple using that mantra. For them, that's at the end of the life. Like what we call Babaji. Like that, that's when they sit down. It's called prapatti. They sit down and they have that mantra, and then they sit and they chant and they do their spontaneous devotional Vaikuntha service. Like that. So it's a very different kind of, you know, where they end is where we start, you know, kind of. You know, that's the difference in what you're dealing with. Because they're dealing with pure devotional service, we're dealing with pure unalloyed devotional service. So, the, you know, you, much more is expected. Mm-hmm. Right. There's a farther distance to cover, but because it is more powerful, that system, what you're gaining is more powerful, it's actually a quicker system. Like that. That's the understandable elements of these, is that even though it's the highest, it's the quickest. And these, as you come down, they're slower. And that's also how the acharya establishes it. So from what I can see, Ramanuja, you can go in one lifetime. You know, it's like the story of the Ramanuja threw some, there were some crumbs or something on his finger, and he threw it into the pukur, and the fish ate it, and then they all got four on fours and went back to Vaikuntha. Like that. Interesting. There were when Achyutananda and the Yashodananda first went there, because all the temples were closed to Westerners, so they went around and preached and showed we were bona fide Sampradaya, you know, ISKCON. So that's why we can go and visit all these temples like that, except for Guru Vaya has been closed again. Some madhouse persons from north of the Volga then went and made some disturbance there, so they closed it for West. Like, yeah, but we're mentioning no places or names.
General direction.
Yeah, general direction. South of the North Pole.
Kind of like, you know, southeast.
Like that, you know. So then they were walking with the head priest, and he was this he was discussing about it. And he was walking along. This is the one in that Venkatabhata's line. You know? So he was walking and telling him, and as he mentioned about this pukur, you know, he says that they just, and so he said, and therefore anybody who bathes in this pukur can just go back to the spiritual world. And then he's carrying on talking, and he hears no response. He turns around, and they're not there. He's looking where they are. Then he hears some sound. As soon as they heard it, they just jump straight off the side of the pukur. Because where it is, they're walking this way, the steps are in front of them. They jump straight over the side. It's straight down the well.
Wow.
It's just, you know, I forget, 15, 20-foot drop.
Wow.
Into the well. Generally, you go around the front and go down the steps.
Yes.
But they were just so into it. As soon as he said it, they just jumped off into there. And then this Venkata, but he was like impressed. Okay, these guys are serious. So then, you know, just thought, okay, these guys are good.
After that, but they put a fence up.
Just to make sure. Because then they figured all the ISKCON were jumping in there. Put up a sign, there are steps. Do you saw?
Mighty Mark this way.
Mighty Mark. Okay. Yeah. That was a rag mark this way. Okay. Yeah, okay, we'll take that. Text 301, Bhagavatam, the essence of the Vedanta and the fruit of the tree of the Vedas is alone the authoritative scripture concerning this. Because you won't get from other scriptures, you won't be able to get. But by what evidence do you say that Krishna has such great powers and sweetness? Bhagavatam makes the following statement. Now, Ramanuja will accept Bhagavatam as an authorized work.
Yes.
Right? They don't, you know, cut things out, like they don't have a problem with it, you know, a few chapters like the Madhyas do. But it's not their main scripture.
Yes.
Vishnu Purana is. Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam is declared to be the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. One who has felt satisfaction from its nectarian mellow will never be attracted to any other literature. Srimad Bhagavatam 12:13-15. It is described there that the Bhagavatam destroyed the suffering in the heart of Vyasadeva. 302. It is said in the third canto. Now, if we also take that Vyasadeva here is Vishnu Tattva, so because by the other literatures, they're not going to be actually elevated to what, you know, they could get. But by the Bhagavatam, now, they could now get that elevation to worship Krishna. So now he's satisfied. It is said in the third canto, the other fun part about this is also, is that the Vishnu deities, this is the interesting thing, that is the connection is not made, that the Vishnu deities, they all remember the pastimes of Vrindavan. So what does that mean?
Right.
I mean, this is the Shris themselves will say, you know, because, you know, I ask about why they're saying Govinda. His name is Venkateshwar, but everyone chants Govinda. They said because he wants to remember his pastimes, you know, as a cowherd boy. And then one of the Pujaris went on to say that in where he goes to sleep, then in there, there's pictures of Vrindavan and, you know, mirrors on the ceiling and all that, trying to replicate the Vrindavan kind of mood. That kind of aspect.
It's the same as Lord Jagannath. He's got this Desha, which is Gita Govinda by Jayadeva Swami, when he put to sleep in Jagannath Puri.
Oh, really? Yeah. So every night when he sleeps, he puts on the Gita Govinda. Oh, that's what those chakras are. And that's why they're so special.
But then in his sleep, he will remember them now.
Okay. Yeah. Because they make this special thing. They stamp this nice silk, and then they hand print it, the whole Gita Govinda. Then it's taken, and with certain herbs in that, it's put inside a bamboo and sealed for 30 years. And then after 30 years, they take it out. So that must be when they use for the deity, because then no bugs will eat it or anything. It's something special, because we saw one once. They gave one. I'm not sure who they gave it to.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, yeah. That's it, right. They gave it to him. They were explaining about that.
They wrapped the Java Brahman.
Okay. Well.
But they dress him as Krishna every night. They give flower decorations and dress him up as Krishna.
Okay.
Before he goes to bed.
Before he goes. Okay. Oh. Yeah, it's interesting how they do. It's like in Guru Vayur. He starts out in the morning with no clothes on, just his kopas, you know, like that. And then as he goes, then by the end of the day, he's the Lord of Vaikuntha with four arms and all opulence. And here Jagannath starts out as the Lord of Vaikuntha at the end of the day, as Krishna is encountered. It is described there that the Bhagavatam, it is said in the third canto, Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of the three Dhammas, and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching the millions of helmets to his shoes. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.2.21. Having presented the opponent's argument, the author now begins to explain the superiority of Krishna's form over that of the Lord of Vaikuntha. Right, so here is, he's presented that, so he's using this to defeat it. In other words, the other one used it as their argument, but he's showing us, he's presenting their argument in full. And so then, you know, I mean, they do stop short of a few verses there, you know, because otherwise it'll take up, you know. And then having done that, now he moves on. This begins to explain the superiority of Krishna's form over that of the Lord of Vaikuntha in terms of form, powers, and name, and by the desire of Lakshmi to attain Krishna through statements from the incarnation of the impartial Shruti. This is a statement by Uddhava from Bhagavatam, a form of Shruti. Uddhava is the best of jnanis because Krishna himself says. Okay, so this is being spoken by Uddhava is not inferior, Krishna himself says, Uddhava is not inferior to me in any way because he is never affected by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he may remain in this world in order to disseminate specific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.4.31. Thus, there should be no doubt about the truth of his statements. Right? So Krishna is saying, he's non-different from me. Right? So then one can say, well, he doesn't know. He's non-different. He's above the mode, so he can't be making a mistake. And so he's saying, Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of the three Dhammas.
Yes.
Right, so.
Yes.
And so I would think here the three Dhammas means the, in the Tripada. But, 303. His form is no equal or superior. Krishna is shown to be superior to even the Lord of Vaikuntha because of having superior qualities to all other forms. The word swayam indicates that he is not dependent on anyone else. The author's verse explains the Bhagavatam's verse. The word anya includes even the Lord of Vaikuntha. The use of the word anya has the widest possible usage here, including other forms of the Lord, like an Oh, that's a footnote. Okay, I was trying to think it's a quote. If it's quotation, then who's complaining? Okay, but it's not. It's a footnote. Okay. So here, the use of the word anya is the widest possible usage here, including other forms of the Lord of Vaikuntha, like an unbridled horse. Mm-hmm. 7. This is called Mukta Pragraha Nyaya, When words give up the conventional meaning and take on their highest aspect, it is called mukta pragraha, free from reins. You know, so therefore, the wild horse. Interesting. Right, so he mentioned here that he's going to catch all the logicians, so he throws in all the things that they are also going to appreciate. Where was that footnote? Ah. Thus, Brahma shows the superiority of Krishna over Narayan by showing the superiority of Goloka over Vaikuntha. I worship the Supreme Lord Govinda, by whom respective powers are given to the abodes of Durga, Shiva, and Vishnu, which is situated below his own planet of Goloka, Brahma Samhita 5:43. Though Bhagavatam says that Brahma has no equal or superior, this statement is true because Rama is identified with Krishna. The word Swayam is not used to describe Rama in the text. The dear form of Rama is considered one with Krishna because his human form, pastimes, and nature are similar to Krishna's. Okay. Quote, in the ninth canto, Rama is described with the words Adika, Shamya, Vimukta, Dhamna, Dhamna. Lord Ramachandra has no equal or superior, Srimad Bhagavatam 9:11:20. Therefore, he should also be called Swayam Rupa. End quote. This verse replies to that argument. Though the statement says that he has no equal or superior, the word Swayam is not used in the ninth canto to describe Rama. Quote, but even then, how can those words be used for Rama? End quote. He is described with such terms because he is similar to Krishna. Thus the term Swayam is not applied to both. Though Brahma describes Rama in the Ramayana with the words Adikarta Swayam Prabhu, Rama is the original doer, the independent Lord. This again should be accepted on grounds of similarity. Over. Text 306. Krishna says in the Brahmanda Purana, the forms such as Machi and Kurma are all dear to me, but among them the form of Rama is my very soul among all the forms. This verse proves the oneness of Rama and Krishna. 307. In the two statements from Bhagavatam, Swayam tu, Asam Yashti Shaya, and Krishna's tu, Bhagavan Swayam, which are used to describe the supreme powers of Krishna, the repeated use of the word Swayam conveys the idea that he has no superior at all, because no other form is equal to his. This verse states that the conclusion of Bhagavatam is that Krishna is Swayam Rupa, because of the repeated use of the word Swayam in reference to Krishna. The word Swayam is repeated, abhyasa, in the statements, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, Swayam tu, Asam Yasti Shaya, and Astamas tu Tayor Asit Swayam Eva Hari Kila. The eighth son was the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 9:24-55. Since abhyasa is used, it indicates the truth. Two statements should actually mean three statements. These three statements with swayam indicate that the swayam rupa nature of Krishna is not because of similarity to the Lord of Vaikuntha, but is completely independent of all others. Because it's mentioning him on its own, not in relationship to. It mentioned Rama is similar to, therefore he's not different. Right? So these differences that are being made here are not because there's major difference, because it's all Krishna. The difference is being made that the form where Krishna performs his pastimes in Vrindavan, that's what's the supreme, special position. Right? Because that's what's the most unique of all the different aspects. Okay. Okay, so we'll end here.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaur
No,
of the one where they do the arti. Oh. The point is this, the impersonalist in here, then there it's a standard method, though there'll be those who will complain that it's for those who aren't quite up to the standard. But because scripture recommends that one meditates on the form of the Lord, they take it that since meditating on the impersonal is so elevated and so difficult in the conditioned state, therefore you meditate upon one of these forms of the Lord. And these forms are, you know, the best of sattva guna. The sattva guna is still considered an emanation of ignorance. It means avidya. So therefore, for them, that is their sadhana. Impersonal sadhana is to meditate on the form of Krishna. Others it'll be Vishnu. Others it'll be Shiva. You know, like that. But I was just saying is that they don't have a problem with that. Like there's a group of smartists who they worship Vishnu as their deity. You know, it means in this meditation need to worship. So they'll do the worship, they'll do everything very nicely. They call themselves Vaishnavas, and we're doing programs and they invite us over and we'll do programs in Kirtan and Shah and the whole thing, and they're quite fine with it. But they don't believe in the eternal form of the Lord. That's where they become Mayavadis. That's how you know it's what it means you're worshiping this form of the Lord. But once you attain to what your ultimate goal is, what's the relation between you and this form? And if they say there is none, it's all Brahman, then they're Mayavadis. If they say, as our servants then, we're servants then you know they're Vaishnavas. That's how you tell them. Because otherwise, technically, the wide range of people who call themselves Vaishnavas is much broader than those who actually are. Because real will be in before someone dies. Yes. So these others most likely aren't in those sampradayas. Yeah. So therefore, it's just like Guru Vayu, they're all Mayavadis, but every night they chant Hare Krishna for 3 hours during Kirtan while the deity goes around. Because in this age you're supposed to chant Hare Krishna, so that's what the Shastra says, they do it. Our worship was established by Shankaracharya. This is the fun part. They do that, they worship, they take the deity out, they sing Gita Govinda to the deity, so they do everything, but it's most out of the way. It's not in your mainstream kind of like Shankarite kind of scene. So it's out of the way, he established that. Some say he even established the rituals in Puri.
Yes, I heard that.
So he establishes all these nice things that Krishna will like because he's a devotee.
Yeah.
But his own, the people who are his devotees don't understand it. That's the point, is that the difference between real Vaishnavas and those who appear to be Vaishnavas, that are reflections of Vaishnavas, they're not even Vaishnava Bhas, they're actually whatever's the word for reflection? There's another. Within a bhakti means you have this other aspect. So they are, it's because they don't believe that the form of the Lord is eternal. That's the maker and breaker who's actually a Vaishnava. That's why the Kashi Goswamis are counted as Apasampradaya. It's because they worship Vishnu, but don't accept that the form is eternal.
They don't accept it because the teacher does not introduce the process of devotional service.
Knowledge is there, but it hasn't been touched by the chit potency.
Right.
So that's the point. That's our point, is that unless it's touched by the transcendental, it doesn't have any meaning. Right. But the point is that since it's touched by the transcendental, since this transcendental touch is there, that's the potency that makes it alive. Why? It's just like, why would you want to have forms or activities that aren't as close to ideal as possible? Just like, let's say, okay, Yukta Vairagya. Let's just take Yukta Vairagya, just for discussion's sake here. Now, Yukta Vairagya, let's say I want to use the Western lifestyle in Krishna service. Now, as long as all the various elements actually are seen and connected with Krishna, technically you could say it would work. Now, yeah, we're putting aside all, you know, material motives and attachments and other things and why we would use a Western lifestyle in the first place. We're just talking about the, you know, the mathematical, you know, does that make sense? It's a logical possibility.
Because there's the Krishna West. You know.
That's another thing. We won't get into it. Like that. And so then the point comes up is that now the only thing that makes Yukta Vairagya have any potency is if it's touched by the chit potency. It means it's actually connected to Krishna. It's not. It's just a Western lifestyle. You connect it to Krishna, then chit potency there, then you could say that's Yukta Vairagya. Now, the point comes is that we just take it that it's about us, what I like to do and my desire, what I do for Krishna, which is okay in the beginning stages of devotional service. It's technically called Aropya Siddhi, Aropya Bhakti, excuse me, is that you're taking what is important to you and then trying to connect that to Krishna. Not that you're taking what's important to Krishna and connecting yourself to that. There's a difference. So it's an aspect, it's considered the lower aspect of mixed devotional service.
That's introduced by Jiva Goswami.
Yes, like that. So Aropi Bhakti. But it's not that you can't get siddhi from this because, like the gopis, it's their girls, and so then, you know, just that, but it's because it's so complete, it's perfect. Right? Because it is directed at Krishna for his pleasure. So then the difficulty comes here. This is the point I want to make: is that now, if the internal potency has entered into this, because if we say chit shakti, we're talking about, you know, the Lord's, you know, internal potency. Now, if it's entered into it, then the point is she has to reside in a form that's not ideal, because the internal potency is the one that manifests the form and activities that are used in bhakti.
In response to the devotional service rendered by the devotee.
Yes, but my point is that you have the original quality of Krishna that you're trying to taste.
Yes.
Because there's ashraya, there's the appreciation of that. So then there's a natural, perfect form and actions that match that.
Yes.
Just like Mother Yashoda wants to see Krishna as her child. So therefore, then there's the form of what a mother looks like, and the mother has a house, mother has a husband, mother has servants, mother has money, facility, you know, influence, that she can arrange everything for her son just the way she likes it. So there's an original form, right? So you come down into the material world, and you do have the lady, she does have a child, the child is in the pram, you know, like that, but, you know, who's pushing it down the street? The mother is pushing it, but she's in high heels, tight pants, you know, tight tank top, and out, you know, she's out there to, you know, get things done. You know, it's not about the baby, but at the same time, baby's part of the paraphernalia. You know, there's the baby, there's the Gucci bag, there's the, you know, she's got the lawyer, she's, you know, all this stuff, it's all part of her paraphernalia. So, that is not an ideal form. So in other words, there is a natural ideal form for the internal potency to reside in. That's where the formal cause comes from. So when that's reflected into the material world, you get the material cause and the mechanical cause. No, what's it? If it's not efficient. Not efficient. Operational cause. Which is us. We want to do something in the material world, the material world transforms. Like that.
Yes, yes.
But what is available in the material world and what will make it transform is a reflection of the formal cause. It means if you don't deal with the nature according to its original nature, it doesn't work.
So, if I understand what you're saying, the Mayavadis, they use Krishna as an attribute or just as a tool.
To get done what they want.
Yeah, so he's not the center as such. He's just an instrument to the
aims. Yes, so the same way, but for the Mayavadis it'll be that. But what we were talking about, this other of Yukta Vairagya-ing, you know, things that I'm attached to.
you know, which is okay, but there is the word vairagya there, which means I shouldn't be attached.
Yes.
And yukta means it is connected to the Lord. So the point is when the Lord's potency enters this, the bhakti potency enters this, that bhakti potency in the original, there is a natural form to perform that particular kind of bhakti that you want to do. Right? So there is a natural food, dress, speak, behavior, environment, paraphernalia, in which you can perfectly manifest that particular kind of bhakti through. Now you're saying that it's going to be manifest in this other. It's not ideal. Because it's not because it's Western, therefore bhakti can manifest. It's that because of that connection with the parampara and that interest, bhakti is there. But the point is you're asking her to manifest in an inferior environment. Now, that you start there, that's normal, because anybody, whatever position they're in, it is going to be mundane. Then they're trying to add all those things of their mundane life and connect them to Krishna. But so that's fine, and naturally as they progress, they will see what is tradition, what is these things, what's recommended, and upgrade the standard of the things of which they invite this devotional potency into. Right? Now, if we make a philosophy, no, because I'm attached to this, I like this, therefore I'm going to keep it like this, then then the devotional connection is very meager. Because it's not about Krishna, it's about yourself. You understand? It's technical, but it's you know, because you're having to understand how this whole causation theory works, how the Brahman elements work. So that's the thing, is that to say that it doesn't matter and that this is just Indian means that where are you getting this knowledge of? How can they say it's just Indian? Where does that come from? What is Indian? You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty. They actually don't know as much as they want. Because the academy introduced Indology to destroy the Indian culture.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know it's just like saying, we're going to give a gross example. And one should not, hopefully one will not feel bad about it. If let us say we had a particular camp, okay, and this camp was designed for a particular purpose, right? Above the gate, you know, the camp has a gate, and above the gate it says, "Work will set you free." Okay? So now I'm saying I'm going to go into this camp, use the camp just the way that it was designed to be used. And by that, I will actually show the glory and benefit the Jews. Is it going to happen?
No.
So that's... No, we'll change the academy. All I've seen is they become changed. I have seen zero change in the academy. And anything that is opposed to, when somebody comes up with some theory opposing the Vedic standard, especially of culture, then generally you take it back, they take it back in reference, whoever's made the point on, you know, wherever it is, Facebook or Dhanabhata, they'll take it back to a reference going back to one of our ISKCON academics.
But it goes back to the same principle that you mentioned a few times. The academy is not about changes, it's about to keep going.
It's just, yeah, they don't want a conclusion.
Because Vaishnavas are supposed to go into the academy to present the Siddhanta.
That's the point. So that's why do it as an academic? There are already academics there. Why present, just like you want to do your BA, okay? That's 10 hours a day for 4 years. Now, if I spent 10 hours a day for 4 years preaching to the teachers and professors and students on campus, do you know how many people would be devotees? How much influence you'd have? Way more. And then that's your BA. They're not even going to look at you until you do your PhD. And then you have to have a seat, you have to be, you know, get your tenure, you have to this and that. So you're talking about 20, 30, 40 years.
It's lifetime.
Yeah. So the point is, can you imagine 40 years of 10 hours a day, what you get done?
So that's that for me is that the concept of changing the academy is great, but you don't do it from inside, you do it from outside. Because the point is you can't change an academic as an academic, but you can change him as a person.
Yeah, of course, there's the academy, and then there's the individual.
Yes, and when individuals change their mood, I have brought this up to ISKCON academics. I have said, but look at, someone like Frowley or Shaboda. You know, they're academics, but they live the lifestyle that they profess. So they understand and appreciate the Vedic elements like that. And so there's a problem. The academy has a problem. Oh, they're not authorities. You can't quote that. It's kind of like, who am I talking to here? You know, because if you're going to answer me like a non-devotee, really, I don't want to talk to you because this is, I didn't wake up in the morning thinking, hey, I want to talk to an academic. If I wanted to do that, I'd go down to the university and find somebody. Mm-hmm. So the thing is it's sad because this idea is that they're going to change it and they just become changed themselves. What to do?
Or they continue the academy when they go and preach somewhere else. Because they know at the academy they don't get anything.
Yeah, because they don't. Because the point is then you can't preach on campus. So the better is that you're not part of it and you just go preach on campus. I remember, what was his name? West Coast, LA, Sannyasi, temple president, Dira Govinda or Dira Krishna? Dira Krishna. Maybe he had a high school degree. I think. I'm not sure. And he was such a good preacher. He would go regularly, I think once or twice a week, down to the UCLA. And he was officially, lecturing to the, the full, 300 students that sit in on those classes on religion and that. He was invited, so it was regular. He was standing. So he's going in there. He's dressed as a devotee, just presents everything as it is. His problem is if you're an academic, then you have to do what they say, otherwise they give you trouble. So then why bother? Well, he can go on campus and do whatever he likes, and it's, hey, it's cool. It's like, because they see this as a personal life. We preach on campus means we're teaching the people as their personal life.
Yes.
So we're not, put the academy aside. You change all the people that are in the academy, naturally the academy changes. You can't, how do you change the academy? And turn it into what?
It's not meant to be changed.
It means as if we're going to make Auschwitz into like a summer resort or something. Like that, So it's not going to work. It's sad. Because it's like this is the result of, 1,000 years of transformation. Oxford was started, all these universities were started by priests, and all they were teaching about was God's creation. You can't even bring that up now. So, the last 200 years, it's like there's no scope for that. Individuals, you can say, no, but this individual believes this or that. Yes, he'll believe that, but when it comes to the academy, he will say nothing.
It's a game. You have to play the game.
You have to play the game. So the thing is
everyone, thank you very much.
I hope.